Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence. It's great to be back in the big seat opposite my buddies, my main men, the stars of the show, Grado.
What are you saying?
And producer John.
Hello.
I just called you producer. Producer John.
Producer.
Producer John. Producer John.
Sounds producer. Like a Star Wars character.
Yeah, producer John. Aye, it does a wee bit. That was good. I wish I'd said that. See, in the edit, delete all this and then make it like acid that it sounds like a Star Wars character, right? Because that was a good joke, John, right? Could you change that? It's great to be back. There's been a lot of filming going on, a lot of carry on, filming the Games Masters, filming, what have you been filming, Grado? The Scott Squads?
Scott Squad filming that, aye. House is getting turned upside down for this week and coming and all, so that's why I'm in the kitchen where I done my podcast with the belt in the background and all my pictures of myself and my pictures of Kurt Angle, my pictures of Sabu hitting me over the head with a chair. That's all away. That's now a pink room with pink carpets. Well, actually it's grey with pink beds and all that kind of care on. So
beautiful.
I'm out in the kitchen. So, but it's good to be
back. I wouldn't have done that. Do you know what happened to my mate? My mate got told in the scan he was having a wee boy, blue everything, all over the place. All the stuff they were buying, blue, everything like that. Do you know what came out? A wee lassie.
Well, it's funny you say that, man, because I've been thinking about that and all, but when I was at the scan, I kind of went here to the woman. I went, is that not a pair of boys? She went, no, it's not the boys, but it's the lady version. And well, then I saw it and I went, what?
No, I was just saying, let me tell you something, right? See what John said happened there. Mm-hmm. That can happen quite often, right? But the other way about, barely ever happens because it's quite easy to miss a wally, but it isn't easy to miss not a wally. Do you know what I mean?
Aye. And I think as well, because we actually didn't want to know right away, and she went, oh, I know what it is. And if you hear them say that, that means they know they've spotted a vagina. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, really? I thought it'd be the other way about.
So they are. See, when I'm saying this back, I'm like, I'm talking shit here, ain't I? But it's been got Rab's eye.
Oh, no, I mean, though. It's like you could go, can I see a willy there? I think it's a boy. I can't see a willy there. Fuck's sake.
Hey,
I can't see
this.
A willy there. Fuck, you're getting the idea. What does a woman have again? I can't remember.
Front bum.
Must be a boy. Aye, front bums, willies.
The flower.
It's got a bum. It's got, listen, see, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's got a bum and it can do a shite, then it's all right. It can, if it's got a mouth and it's got an arse, I don't care what it is. That's my, no harm to anybody out there that doesn't have a mouth or an arse. I get fucking cancelled now because all of our listeners don't have arseholes. My arsehole was sealed up when I was 2. I had an operation, my arsehole got sealed up and I was really offended when you said that. So apologies to anybody's, I need to just keep moving on now.
We need, because of the deal with last week, by the way, was missing a show. I was actually quite delighted with some of the feedback. Folk were devastated.
Folk were greeting and all that, like, oh no, no show this week. Maybe you should show some love. It's like that thing that happens, you know, when somebody dies and everybody goes, oh no, he was my favourite. I loved that guy. He was my favourite comedian. And I'm like, why'd you not fucking say that when they were alive? And see, they're going, oh, it's fucking a bit shite again, isn't it? That was a bit shite. Say it when they're alive. That's the way I felt about Wrestling Daft. I was like, tell us you love us while we're on. Don't tell us you love us in a week off.
I need, I think there's a couple of shout outs I need to do on this as well, John.
Of course.
I need a shout out for Martin
Andy Gorham, Brian Loudrup. Martin O'Neill.
Martin O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Former Celtic manager, Martin O'Neill.
No, it's just another guy for Glasgow called Martin O'Neill. He was an extra on Scott Squad last week. And he loved the podcast, and I said, I'll give you a wee shout out. There's also
Martin O'Neill.
There's also a guy that was on Go Radio this week called Ryan, and he sent me a message to say he was a big fan. So Ryan Wright. Obviously, want to give a shout out. This is a bit of sad news. I've had a couple of messages, and I think, John, you got a message as well from Drew Halliday's pals.
It got in touch.
Tony, who is a delivery driver that I chased through the Three Towns for a delivery not that long ago. He was a lovely guy. I gave him a shout out. But sadly, his big pal, Drew Halliday, passed away, who, by all accounts, was a great guy, absolute gem. And he was a big Grado fan, apparently. And apparently, he dressed up as me. In the past before, so sad news. And I think I'm going to shout out to the friends and the family, and also going to dedicate this episode of Wrestling Daft to Drew Halliday as well.
You're here, well done, mate. Let's see what the punters are saying. Sorry, I'm eating a packet of Roysters, everybody. People were sad we weren't the own. People saying things like Roger says the kids are crying now. And Peter says, can't believe they no-showed even Jeff Hardy the decency to turn up while he was off his tits. And Martin said he was going in for surgery and was looking forward to Wrestling Daft, hoping that we feel bad. We don't. It was good to have a week off. It was brilliant. Peace for you lot. Cast your mind back a couple of weeks, right, everybody, when we were talking about Arn Anderson's gun promo, and we're talking about Rusev, Miro with a gun. No, that might have been Billy Kirkwood that was talking about that, right?
It was.
Right, so what was what?
Oh,
was
I really haven't seen you in weeks. So because you're right, there? I was doing it with Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on.
What were you saying?
You must have seen the Arn Anderson promo with a Glock.
Oh, I saw the promo, what were you saying about it?
I said there should be. You were talking about how you think there's. We said there's very few gun angles in wrestling, which is surprising considering the wrestling is very much a gun type.
I had basically said that I've never, like, I can't believe how America, how much they love guns, right, and are daft on their guns. I think every American person Swiss that I've been in, they've had guns up in the wall. They've had a selfie of every one of the guns.
Really, aye.
But I'm surprised that there's never been like a gun in a no disqualification match or a street fight or anything like that.
Well, Grady, you were talking about like that was how this has come about. It was, I think, Rusev did a scene with a gun with Jericho. So, and then
I remembered as well because the Big Show got shot in the arse, I'm sure. We're sleeping gun or something.
Ron's tail has given us the chat here.
Oh, is he knows the score?
He says you were right. Say it was for a movie for the Miro thing. He said, also JBL got shot with a tranquilizer first and then decided to wrestle Godzilla, one of my favourite wrestling angles.
Aye, and was there no another one I said as well about? Oh, was that right? Was it Rusev and Jericho that had the gun?
Yeah,
was this in WWE? Right. Sorry, fucking hell, the gaff.
I'm laughing at this. Hold on, I'm just reading this next bit. He's all talking about wrestling bed covers, right?
Yeah,
and Ian Drew Dice Clay says, I remember about 2007, I took a lassie back to mine and my mum had put Steve Austin quilt covers on my bed. They hadn't been on it for years. Why now? A 1 in 10 chance that they'd be on. Big Stone Cold with his top off, oiled up.
That's the best.
I never had wrestling bed sheets. I remember my nephew did though. He had wrestling ones. The Big Boss Man was on them as well. I remember that. I remember Big Boss Man on his... Did you ever have any Grado?
No, I never, but I remember being in a certain promoter's house who was in his late 30s and in his bedroom. He had paintings of Kane, Al Snow, The Undertaker and stuff. Have I told you this?
Do you mean posters? Posters or paintings?
No, paintings. As in, he got a guy in his room to paint them, hand-painted.
Onto the wall?
He was in his 30s.
Onto the wall, directly.
Like a mural?
Like a mural to these wrestlers.
Oh my God.
Aye.
Thanks to Karate Warrior 2 for a couple of things, by the way. One, he points out that it's the 10-year anniversary of Hulk Hogan saying, good night, Hulkamaniacs and jabroni marks without a life. It don't know it's a work when you work a work and work yourself into a shoot marks. Well, the T-shirt is still available at spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Thanks to Hulk Hogan for no shutting us down there for that.
Have we actually sold any of them?
We don't. I think it's coming up to Christmas now. I think
That's an awful.
We'll get some deals on the T-shirts. We'll get some sales for Christmas. But yeah, we need some more design. There's somebody that reached out to me. I'm going to get back in touch with you, who has volunteered to do some designs for us because he specifically wants that there's only one Tony Khan T-shirt developed. So
oh, Who?
Anyway, speaking of Tony Khan, I was in Smythe's, the toy shop. Was it Smythe or Smith's?
Smith's, I call it.
Smith's, I would say. Fucking, all the AEW gear.
Was it?
Oh, mate.
Was
it? Couldn't go at it. Frankie Kazarian, MGF, Adam Page.
What do you mean gear like toys?
The toys, and also a big ring set at £100. Like a full shelf full of AEW gear right next to the WWE stuff.
Kenny Omega.
And even the, I mean, WWE, I think there was a kind of, there was good to have been, but there was about 25 Frankie Kazarian ones.
That's amazing.
And it's mental to think, isn't it? I mean, you think, because like you listen to Jeff Jarrett's podcast, right? He tried for years to get all that. That was like the main goal with TNA at one point, was like, right, we need to get six-sided ring made into a toy. We need to get toys for this. It's all about toys and marketing. And that took him years, man.
That six-sided ring was a merchandise dream come through. I mean, that was...
Well, that's why he done it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they done it, was to sell the rings, the toy rings, and then also it's kind of like they can go with a different promoting kind of thing. Well, we've got six sides.
Aye.
Can you
I like the
ring?
Six-sided ring, actually.
I'll tell you a rest of a six-sided ring.
But where was it? What company?
This little known federation out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Here, hold on. Karate Warrior 2 has also thrown this out, putting in a request to Grado and Robert Florence to review The Rock's rap effort on this week's show. On a scale of Conan Psycho to Macho Man's Be a Man, where does this one for the great one fall? Let's hear it, John.
Right. It's about drive, it's about power. We stay hungry, we devour. Put in the work, put in the hours, and take what's ours. Like in Samoan in my veins, my culture banging with strange. I change the game, so what's my motherfucking name? What they gonna get though? Desecration, defamation. If you wanna bring it to the masses, face to face, now we escalating. When I have to put boost the asses, mean on ya. Like a dream, when I'm rumbling, you're gonna scream, mama. So bring drama to the king, Brahma. Fight to an extreme mana.
Well, because we're wrestling fans, that's just normal to us. But I can see, because I did read the replies on Twitter, and it's all, what the fuck's he doing? But I think it's because we know him for wrestling, and that's just what kind of pops up now and again. We're not as... We're desensitized to stupid shit like that, aren't we?
Exactly. That's like, it's no... It's nothing. You know, that's in his... That's like, he's in his comfort zone there. I think it was good. It's definitely better than Conan. It's better than fucking Macho Man as well.
Is it better,
however, than fucking John Cena's album?
No, that was a great album. Because
I will still say,
the boy's a bad man. Creating
that was,
the
that was good. That album,
a shitty flight, Colgate, or that. I loved that. That was a great album.
Huh?
And also, I got that signed by John Cena and HMV in 2007.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. And I sold it for about 40 bar about fucking 10 years ago on eBay. I wish I still had it, man. I signed that my WrestleMania 20 DVD.
I feel like that's forgotten a wee bit, isn't it? That CD he did.
I
remember even at the time there was like reviews and all that, where punters were kind of going, this is actually pretty good.
We interviewed him for the radio about it, because it was the only chance we thought, I don't think we even put the interview out on the radio. I think we just did it because we're wrestling fans. We got the chance to talk to John Cena.
We talked to him on the phone.
Did Ric Flair as well.
Hey, did you put that out?
No, I think we did.
So you wee weirdos in radio were just fucking phoning up wrestlers. This
sucks.
Marks.
By the way, just before, remember
Marks.
It doesn't matter. I got 20 Bentleys in the West End, please. It doesn't matter. Remember that?
Yeah, aye. John, plays a wee bit of one of Cena's hip hop tracks, man.
Right, okay, okay.
Let's hear a bit of the real deal.
Right, okay. I think it's track 6, man. That was quite good. Summer Fling, that was it. That's it, June.
Here we go.
Okay, come on. Yeah, we doing things now, man.
Listen.
It's just another day in the life, you know. Always try to do some big business. Sometimes when we having fun, some shit goes down, you know. You ain't expecting nothing, then something come out of nothing. It was just another typical day in the summer. Me, Trayvon, Crabchuck, my little brother.
You see the chorus comes out exactly like chorus.
Man, three wheel motion, killing fools like a hit, man. You know some chill shit vibing out.
Like you see
this in the mix, fuck hot now. On the corner of Elm Street, I locked eyes with her. I ain't stepping, man, this bitch had guys with her. She came through the crowd, walked over to me, catching me off guard, she acting like she knew me. Her name was Shannon, huge cannon. She's hanging with Melissa, this big booty
chick you couldn't mess up. This chick was like a fitted cap.
I mean, it's good stuff, isn't it?
Aye, man.
It's good.
Surprised they never done like the cat house and the cockpit and Leeds and all that. Came like a wee tour.
Cat house. Is that your dream? If you ever release a hip hop album, oh, play the cat house, man. You can play the cat house tomorrow, Gredo. You just fucking give him a ring. That's true. Have you DJed in the cat house, right?
I've never DJed in the cat house, but I've played at the cat house in my band, Present Prime 2004.
Ah, you've played the fucking the Playboy and the fucking like you played the Gigolo and the fucking cat house, mate. You played the bad boy. You played the bad boy up at cat house, mate. played the bad boy up at garage, Gredo. I seen you up at garage, Gredo. Playing the bad boy.
Karate Warrior wanted to know, is there going to be a Gredo rap track so you can fulfill your dreams of playing the cat house, Gredo?
Which is that?
Karate Warrior said, after, off the back of that, he says, can we have a Gredo rap album? Could you drop some sick beats? Could you do that for us?
I'd rather release a Christmas song.
Right.
We should do a Wrestling Daft Christmas song.
Oh, yeah, like cover Amarillo or something. You know
what I mean? Why do a Wrestling Daft Christmas song?
Right, let's do it.
We'll get somebody to make us a beat. We'll all get in it. We'll, you know what I mean? We'll do the business. We'll get some of your catchphrases in there.
Does that not kind of bring us on to the boot? Who's the Irish boy that's great on Twitter and he comes on this podcast? He had the idea about the panto.
Brian.
Mm-hmm. Because the guy on the poster for Cinderella, the guy that's in my panto called Clark Stewart, who's like a pure, like ship cruise singer. He's like kind of Daniel O'Donnelly, kind of with a hair slick back and all that. He pointed out that he looks like Bruce Pritchard, and he does look like Bruce Pritchard.
Scroll down, Brab, you'll see for yourself. I see him.
He does look a bit like Pritchard, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does. Listen, I just want to say here that Jimbo has jumped on the Only One Tony Khan bandwagon, cancelled WWE Network a couple of weeks ago, signed up for Fire Fight TV, seen some class AEW matches, weeklies, 3 minutes into NWA Power for the first time, and well-tuned in bargain, £7 a month. Only One Tony Khan, Jimbo's on the boat. And also, Scottish Wrestling Network says it was great to see Wrestling Daft favourite Bingo Balance at WrestleZone's Halloween hijinks. And early put over for next week's show. Big shout out to WrestleZone.
They contacted me this week about shows next year. I need to get back to them.
And Bingo Balance, you need to hope, you know, that, I mean, obviously we're all waiting to find out if he's pro too. We don't know yet. Brian says, are we new currently the only people in the world that are promoting pro 2 stuff still?
I don't even see it on internet anymore.
The show has happened.
I don't know. We're still going on about it.
Are we the only people now? The promoter seen... himself is like, I'm just chucked it.
I saw a message. They were talking Pro 2 the other day there. There was...
John, get the fucking guy on the show.
Right.
I know, because I want to get him on. Logan Stormy messaged me a couple of weeks ago after we spoke about it. I don't think
get a fella
happy,
on
but...
the show. We're supposed to be supporting the wrestling community in Scotland. Get a fella on the show.
Hold on, gearing up for the upcoming shows. Merch is starting to roll in, so you can get Pro 2 t-shirts, which they've ripped off of the NWO. You can get Pro 2 water bottles and a selection of Pro 2 water bottles. You can get Pro 2 face masks. God, they've got better merch than
Pro 2 face masks. Listen, John, let's do a Pro 2 special. Let's get the guy on. Ask him in advance, can he send us some t-shirts? We'll wear them. Pro 2 t-shirts today.
Well, Logan Storm is going sober for October.
Good on him.
Funds for that. So go on, Logan. And the show is happening 12th of December. It's my birthday. There you go.
Night
Smashing Through the Snow, they're calling the show.
Smashing Through the Snow is a good name, by the way.
Is it the Bounce Station in Irvine? Is that a soft play?
I saw that.
No, it's like a bounce. It's not a soft play.
Trampoline place.
Fucking wrestling show in a soft play, John. No fucking way would you get Pro 2 in a soft play.
That's
more
the last
new.
Thing
we need. Right, on the card, that is Andy Wilde. That is Deke. That is Jason... Roberts.
Is Adam Shame there?
Shame is not there.
Big Shamer told me he was, I'm sure Shamer was doing it.
He's not on the poster. Shamer
won't mind me saying this, but it's when I hear about the water bottles and all that being bought, I remember, I don't know if I've told you this before, I'm sure he won't remember, but I remember Adam Shame in like 2008 bought about 800 Adam Shame t-shirts, right? And you couldn't, and I, when I stayed at his bit where I was wrestling, you couldn't get moving. For his Adam Shame books, his Adam Shame t-shirts. I don't know, I don't remember we went to, me and the boys went to Tina
Park.
You mean
the classic black and yellow, the classic yellow and black ones?
That's a brilliant t-shirt.
I like that t-shirt, aye.
I've still got a photo in my garage, a painting, Adam Shame, that very one. So I do. But, aye, all the boys wore it at Tina Park 2010. That, and I just left the community wardens as well, so I gave all the boys Adam Shame t-shirts, my community wardens uniform. I was going to the community warden uniforms in Tina Park. Too funny.
Beautiful. I want an Adam Shame t-shirt.
I want one at all.
I want one. We should do this. We should be appearing on the podcast wearing t-shirts for people. So tell us about your panel as well, Gredo. Get a wee punt in for your panel. Let's see. Let me read who's in it. Gredo is playing Gradina. Liam Dolan, the big Dolan, is playing Buttons. Big Dolan, I never knew Big Dolan was even out of jail yet. That's good. Alison Orr is the fairy godmother. Julie Matheson is going to be playing Cinderella. Stephen
Purden, apparently Scott Arfield's physio's missus. So,
right, Stephen Purden. So you're saying Julie Matheson's man has rubbed Scott Arfield's groin?
Aye.
Just Stephen Purden as Bobina.
Bobina.
Bobina, sorry, I apologise. Nicola Auld is the Baroness. You get Scott Fletcher as Dandini, and you get Chris Scougal as the Prince, and then you've got Bruce Pritchard as the Baron. Yeah. So that's your Cinderella, this year's sensational family panel. The Pavilion, mate.
Pavilion, we start on opening night, 3rd of December. It's a shorter run. Tickets are still on sale, but there's hardly any left, I believe.
Oh, really? So, can we get guesties, Gredo?
No, I tell you, we can't.
The Pavilion, the fucking Pavilion, guesties.
To be fair, Rab's got about 100 kids, so he wouldn't get in.
Sorry. See the tweet that we got, what wrestling characters would we have as pantomime? I mean, do you know the first thing that came to my head? Was I reckon JR would make a fucking cracking dame? Do you know Hink?
He would.
Like, I could just imagine him be like an old timer performer that's been doing it for years, man, sitting in a corner, flying on his tights and his high heels and all that, putting on his lipstick and like, Ken just like giving everybody advice.
I think Jericho would be a good dame as well. Can you imagine Jericho as a dame?
Jericho would be a good dame.
Charlotte Flair would be a good Cinderella.
She would be. No, I think she would be better at being like the
evil,
heel angel, evil. Like,
oh,
like
the evil
fairy godmother or something. Like that. She'd be
Molly
good
Holly
that.
Would be a good. Molly Holly would be a good Peter Pan.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. Well, isn't it?
You don't
thank
do
you
that in panels anymore, do you? Like women dressing up as men to be played Peter Pan and that, do you?
You can still find them.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Peter Pan is one that happens quite often.
Yeah.
A woman plays Peter Pan.
Yep. If you want, Eddie Guerrero could play Pinocchio.
Who could?
Eddie Guerrero
could play Pinocchio.
Because he lies. He cheats.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So.
Very nice. Very nice. And
fucking rocky.
I liked it.
Did you?
I liked it.
I tell your face that.
Hey, maybe we could do a wee special pun in for next week where it's pantomime wrestlers that are pantomime stars.
Aye, let's get that's what I want. Aye, pantomime stars, that's it.
Like Ravishing Rick Whittington and all that, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter, Wrestling Daft, on Insta, Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Our email is at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week we separate the lateral flow test and the PCR test as we bury and put over stuff for the wrestling. Anything you want to put over this week, Gredo?
No.
Okay, I'll do it then. I want to put over MJF. MJF doing his whole bit, coming out and saying Darby Allin hadn't turned up for the match, and all that part, and I love all that stuff. Almost like old school Jericho stuff. Remember Jericho used to date with Goldberg? I'm loving MJF's work. I'm loving AEW. I'm loving Tony Khan's patter on Twitter. I'm loving the demographic part. I want to put that over. I loved CM Punk's match on Rampage. I think he's really, you know, he's been good. His matches he's had have been good, but he looks like he's getting better with every match. He's getting better. He's shaking off the ring rust.
Have you saw Squid Games yet?
I've not watched Squid Game yet, no, but it's not a wrestling thing, so. is there anything else I want to put over? Danielson Suzuki obviously was amazing. And what else do I want to put over? I could just basically I've just been loving. I love Jungle Boy coming out and clearing the ring and all that as well. I think that was that on Dynamite? It was on Dynamite. Jungle Boy coming out and clearing the ring, and Jungle Boy coming out to sell with just like kind of leather jacket and all that.
John, are you watching AEW every week?
I'm watching it on ITV, so I'm always a bit behind on it.
but you're a pure fiend for Ron Smith. Oh, by the way, man. It's like, I don't need to do this, man. But I'm going to end up dropping myself in it because my missus is next to me. But I was at Burger King this morning. And the guy serving me in the drive-thru went, "When you getting back to WWE?" I goes, "Well, I was never in WWE, mate." He went, "Ah, it was SmackDown you were on. You were always in SmackDown." And I just played along. I was like, "I know, man, but not doing it anymore." And he was like, "You need to get you back, man. You need to get you back in SmackDown." And I was like, but it was so awkward that I had to change like the subject. I was like, "Are you a manager in here?" And he's like, "I just started 3 weeks ago." "Where did you come from?" "Oh, I worked in hotels." It was just fucking making me feel dead awkward.
Get you back on SmackDown. Brilliant.
Anyway, halloumi fries with Burger King are tremendous. Hey, Rob, you all right? Sorry, mate. It just popped in my head.
Oh, I liked it. I just want to tell everybody out there that, you know, Rab is watching AEW every week, so I'll keep you up to date with the AEW stuff. I don't know what these fucking jokers are up to, but I'll keep you up to date with that stuff. I've not been watching WWE, to be fair, but I'll watch the big pay-per-views. I'm not watching. I'm fucking sitting through Raw. Fuck that, man. Fuck Raw.
Hey, anyway, come on.
CM Jakes, go in touch, wants to put all Dynamite, the Jamiroquai album, Dynamite, the Junior Senior song, Miss Dynamite, the 1949 American film noir drama, and especially AEW Rampage. There's only one, Tony Khan. Big AEW fans here. Bronze Cello wants to bury everybody taking the ratings so seriously. Just enjoy the wrestling. Great time to be a fan. True, but they are important as well. Who's putting over Rab and Grado's future projects? Bronze Cello as well. He appreciates we're busy, and when they can, they entertain us on here. Busy parents and soon-to-be parents. Oh. Looking forward to the new Scott Squad, Games Master Scott, Season 2, amongst everything else. We are busy, aren't we? Cheers, guys. Oh, listen.
Thank you, that was nice.
Let me tell you something, right? We might have a lot going on and all of that, right? I fucking love doing this show. Willie wants to put over Danielson Suzuki. We're great. Daniel Garcia getting signed to a full-time contract with AEW, and he deserves that. Now to Barry, since I've cut all the shite shows out of my viewing schedule. There you go. You know what he's talking about there as well. Roshi Boy wants to put over Rab for the Scots being approved for another series and being cast in the play Orphans next year, which I know will be brilliant. Thank you. Also, Suzuki versus Danielson was superb, and wants to bury himself for missing the last couple of podcasts. Well, remember, you can always go back and listen to the old podcasts. I wouldn't fucking bother, though, because I wasn't in the last couple. So Martin wants to put... big thanks, by the way, to Billy Kirkwood for helping out there and covering. Martin wants to put over Heels that he started watching on Amazon. It's very good. Get a swatch. I've not watched it yet. Have you watched this, Grado, Heels?
What's this? No, but is this the wrestling
deal? Apparently it's really good. I didn't realize it was on Amazon. I thought it was on Stars and you had to subscribe to Stars, but if it's on Amazon, I'm all over that.
Yeah, I struggle to watch stuff like that.
Would you? Are you just like documentaries? But you watch Squid Game, Grado.
Oh, no, that's why I'm delighted with myself. I mean, I just love that. I was
delighted to say, "I'll wait to bed off, please," you know, after watching it.
Well, it was because I watched like three episodes on the go, and then my fucking brother thought I'd finished it, and the spell ended for me.
So is it good, though? Is it good?
Oh, man, great. I'm telling you, man, that is going to kick off. See, with figures and posters and the trackies and all that, that's going to be the big thing this year.
See, if you fucking tried to get a show like that made in this country, you fucking no chance, man.
But you know, I think they might date like Squid Games, the European version, like I think that'll be a thing. I think it might maybe, be but a franchise.
See, but see, if you walked into a broadcaster here in the UK with that idea, they'd be like, what? You know what I mean? No chance. Louise wants to put her Discovery Wrestling's first show back at the Corn Exchange, which is brilliant.
I didn't know they were back.
She says, I'm also putting all the new talent that's breaking out, like Ian Skinner, Daz Black, etc. Daz Black's got a great look, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Fraser wants to put the Danielson Suzuki match, a great showcase for both wrestlers, and bury the booking of the Queen's Crown tourney. Ridiculous, this, by the way. All the ladies involved deserve better. I haven't seen it myself, but I have been hearing that the matches are like 2 minutes long. I mean, just fucking.
That's my big buddy. That's my big buddy for this week. They're just going back to like the Divas style.
Divas era bullshit.
Rubbish.
I want to bury something. Why have they turned Becky Lynch fucking heel?
I agree with you, mate. I was watching it last week and I'm going, and it's like totally original with a big furry coat and on your face, like the kind of like, because I was talking about this, Rab, with Billy Kirkwood on the podcast. The amount of heels now that when they turn heel, nobody's a bastard. It's all just, look at me, I've got money, I'm wearing trendy gear, and I'm, do you know what I mean? It's aye, fancy suits, and there's nobody that's got a right, if they're going to be bad, be bad.
It's also, here's the weird thing, because they're trying to do a Conor McGregor thing there, right?
Conor McGregor.
To the extent that she's lifted part of, or they've lifted part of directly for Conor McGregor and put it in Becky Lynch's mouth, right? But here's the problem with it. Conor McGregor isn't a heel.
Mm.
Conor McGregor, for all a lot of people out there might go, I can't stand this guy. Or a lot of people out there might go, I think this guy's an arsehole or whatever. Conor McGregor has got a massive fucking fan base who lap up his stuff and who think he's brilliant. That's no how you fucking put a heel over. It's no how you do it. Look at fucking MJF over on AEW.
That's a heel.
That's a heel, man. Everything about it, every wee thing he does, for the disgusting things he says, to the annoying fucking facial expressions that he's got, to how he wrestles, to doing things like the other night, when he powders out the ring and all that and Sting's in there, or you want to go the new, and then he takes his jacket off and you think we're going to get MJF versus Sting, and then he doesn't give them it.
Aye.
He's like, that's... And he's doing nothing new either. He's just like somebody that understands how to be a heel, which isn't fucking difficult, man. It's just everybody wants to be cool. I just love how MJF is this young, good-looking, great wrestler, young man, who has went, I don't want to be fucking cool. Do you know what I mean? He's like, I'm no interest in being cool.
And he's got it nailed.
I want to be fucking hated.
Mm-hmm. And see when he tweets about other wrestlers as well, he's just speaking truth. He's just thinking what other wrestlers would love to tweet, but they couldn't. But he's owned all that. He's just fucking, he's shut up.
Neil wants to put all Discovery's first show back after 2 years. There we go again.
He said that, mate.
Brilliant getting to see Nossa, somebody else putting it on. Said that, mate. See, you wouldn't say that if I was putting Pro Tour. Brilliant getting to see everybody again. Not really looking forward to the anniversary show next month. A lot of love out there for Discovery. Big moves happening in Scotland for Discovery. Also putting out Brian Danielson versus Suzuki. The Forbidden Door has well and truly been blown right off its hinges. And he's burying nothing because he thinks wrestling's magic. Good on him. Toby would like to put our Miro's promo where he was threatening God. How good was that, man? I forgot to mention this. So you need to see this promo, Grado. Where he's like, God's turned against me. And he's basically like, threatening God, man. You better fucking, I'm serious.
That's brilliant.
He's threatening God. And he's threatening, he's particularly pissed off at God because he's no God's favourite champion anymore. He's ashamed to go home to his wife. Like, he can't go, he wants back in bed with his wife and he can't. It's the best. It's the best stuff. So Toby loves it as well. No wrestling buries for Toby, but it says, I'll bury me getting a trapped nerve in my neck 2 weeks before my first gig back in 2 years. When did they go all? Toby, hope you feel better soon. Toby was all, remember, you was on the show and as a great singer, isn't he, Grado?
Oh, Toby Michael's great singer. Aye, he's a great guy.
Jordan.
No, I'm just looking at the put over it says about the fact Dr. Tom Pritchard saved the fan at Newcastle game.
That's Kevin, yeah. Kevin, the guy who saved the incident in the Newcastle game at the weekend where the guy had a heart attack.
That's fucking brilliant.
The doctor that saved him was called Dr. Tom Pritchard.
You are joking
me.
Wow. No.
Do you know what? That's brilliant. That's amazing. I actually thought that was my favourite that would collapse in the crowd because he's a Newcastle season ticket holder. I had to phone him. I did though. Is that you? Is everything all right?
He's like, son, there's a guy called Tom Pritchard with me. He says he knows you.
It was my dad.
He says he's heard of you.
Am I Kenny's brother, Dad? Tell him I'm Kenny's brother.
And Jordan's putting our Brian Danielson and Minoru Suzuki in the buy-in for Rampage. A great technical match. Hard hitting for half an hour. Gave both men a great show and he showed wrestling at its best. And by the way, I saw somebody saying after that match, I watched that match, and I saw somebody saying that like, Suzuki only took like three bumps in the whole match.
Did he really?
He only took about three bumps.
Wow.
You don't even fucking notice. You don't even notice.
No.
Woo!
Let me tell you about our pals at Platinum CBD. This is great. This CBD is tremendous. If you don't know about CBD, it helps you with a number of daily issues. That's like sleep, chronic pain, anxiety, depression, stress, inflammation, gut issues, brain fog, and there's plenty more. And we all know what it's like post-lockdown, mental health. It may not be the strongest. It could be a lifesaver for a lot of folk, this CBD oil. In the podcast, Wrestling Daft, we've teamed up with Platinum CBD from Columbia Care. They are the world champion in CBD. And we want to give you the opportunity to try it for free. You heard it right. We're going to let you try it for nothing. All you need to do is head to call-care.uk. Use the discount code DAFTFREE. That's all the one word, right? And it's call-care.uk. Discount code DAFTFREE. Try the 10% oil or the capsules for absolutely hee-haw, damn-haw, nada. Now, let me tell you about it. Columbia Care, they've brought their expertise in CBD from America. They've made a sophisticated CBD wellness range for the UK. It's including the CBD oil that comes in peppermint. It's also unflavoured, easy to take soft gel capsules. All of the range is free from THC. It's vegan friendly, it's 100% organic, and it's backed with scientific research. And it basically ensures that you're getting a premium CBD product. Now, I've spoken about this for the last couple of weeks. I've got the guys at the radio into it, and it just gives you a good start to the day. A lot of folk wake up with a bit of grey or their head. They could maybe have a wee bit of anxiety. This definitely helps. And I'm not just saying this because it's a thing we're on the podcast, but there's so many folk out there looking to use CBD and it's helping them. And it's not just for the one issue, it's helping them with a lot of issues. I said I've got issues with the gut, it's helped me with that. It also gives me a good sleep at night. And it's easy to take, man. It's not like you can take the soft gel capsules, you can put the oil under your tongue. It's easy to take and it works for me. Well, for me anyway, it was working right away. It's benefits are just something else, Rab, and we want to help you out. If there's people listening here and they might be struggling, they might think, I might make you that a bash. Get a bash because they're going to give you the chance to get it for nothing. Try it for nothing. Have a go, have a bash, because I know you'll do exactly what I done. I get sent a free batch and I tried it and I got some of the troops on it and now we're buying it regular, and that's without a word of a lie. So get a wee bash because it's for nothing. So as I say, head to call-care.uk, use the discount code Daft Free. It's there, use it, you'll be surprised, you'll be amazed, and you'll want more. Let us know how you get on with it, by the way. If I know there'll be some people that'll be right on there getting a wee bash and getting it through the door, let us know. Tag us on Twitter and Wrestling Daft, or at least email John and let us know how you're getting on with it.
It's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Come on and talk wrestling or talk daft. It's up to you. This week, please welcome to the podcast the one and only Bobby, the Brain, Carmichael. Morning, Bobby Caramack, Carmichael, Bobby the Brain, Caramack, Carmichael.
That also it sounds like an NXT name, you're right, John, but it also does sound like a pantomime name, like starring Bobby Carmichael as fucking Buttons, doesn't it?
It also could be an American name, right? Bobby Carmichael.
Bobby Carmichael. Sounds like an owner.
80s game show host.
Yeah.
Aye.
And here's your host, Bobby.
Bobby Carmichael. Carmichael. And here is your host.
Bobby, hurry up. Come on now.
Bobby.
Oh, Bobby. Come on.
Oh, Bobby. Remember that?
Oh, Bobby.
It was that Lionel Richie and all that, wasn't it? And
if Lionel Richie, Lionel Blair. Lionel Richie. I know Richie was there, not Marvin Gaye. Bobby, where are you, mate?
Come on, Bobby.
Come on, Bobby.
Oh, Bobby.
Bobby. Who's your favourite Bobby?
Bobby Dixon, ex-bus manager.
Bobby Davro.
Yes, Bobby Davro is your favourite Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, no, Bobby. Bobby, like the legend that used to play for Falkirk and Goals.
I like Bobby George, the darts player.
Oh, yeah, Bobby George. Do you know you can
rings,
go, yeah, do you know you can go fishing at his mansion? You can like book to go to Bobby George's mansion. He's a very keen fisher and you can go fishing with Bobby George and his wife cooks you dinner and all this shit.
Well, he'll come out fishing with you.
Aye. Bobby George will go out fishing. You sit down for dinner with him. You stay at his house and all that sort of
do
stuff.
Do you want to know the best, one of the best British wrestling gimmicks that I ever saw that I don't think he spent long enough doing? God, he's going to hate me because I forget his fucking real name. He was in ICW for years today. But he done a gimmick in Ireland as Bobby George Jr.
Bobby George Jr.?
Yes, and he was playing the part of Bobby George, the darts player's son. And he's into wrestling.
Did he have the rings and all that?
Aye, he had all that. It was hilarious, mate.
Great idea, man.
It was a great idea.
Bobby George Jr. is a great name as well for a wrestler.
And to Bobby George Jr. But he's going to hate me for forgetting his other wrestling name. It's really going to annoy me.
What was his other wrestling name?
His name was Rob Cage. Rob Cage. Remember he was in ICW years ago?
Yep.
Bobby George Jr. I'm looking at a picture of him now.
Right, Bobby, come on in. You're on mute. You're here, you're on mute. What's going on? For anyone who's not watching the video version of this, we are just waiting for Bobby to enter. He's not entered.
And just get Bobby's number.
Well, how much longer are we getting Bobby to join?
Well, this is Bobby's part of the show.
This is Bobby. We've talked about your favourite Bobbies now, so Bobby doesn't look like he's joining us.
Bobby is sitting on Zoom right now, and it just says his Zoom name, which is?
Bobby.
Bobby.
I was going to say Bobby Carmichael. Bobby Carmichael Barrymore, I was going to say.
Bobby Carmichael Barrymore?
Aye. It's good, isn't it? Bobby Carmichael Jackson.
Bobby Carmichael's left the building.
He's out of here. So if you want to join us on the run-in
next week,
just appear without coming to us and we'll talk about your name for 5 minutes, your best bet is to sign up to Patreon as a World Heavyweight Champs. Get first dibs on it. And IC Champs.
Hold on, he's back in. He's back in.
Well, he's got 2 minutes.
He's got 2 minutes. Get in here, Bobby.
Here we go.
This is exciting. This is like, you know, when they say, like, oh, the Undertaker's no coming to fight John Cena, and then he started turned up, and then John Cena had to run in. Here he is.
Hold on.
Bobby Carmichael.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Bobby.
You all right?
We can't see. We can hear you, but we can't see you.
No, because John disabled my camera.
John, what are you fucking doing disabling his camera?
I didn't disable his camera.
John disabled my camera.
I've not touched you, son. I've not touched you.
Were you playing, John?
Say that. Is that me?
There he is!
There he is. Latino Heat t-shirt on.
Yes.
You're very welcome to the show now, Bobby. And frankly, you've been taking so long to come in that you've taken up almost like half the episode now. So you better make it worthwhile. What's your partner? What are you about?
Oh, not much. I've just been a listener for the start. I'm just glad to get on, to be honest with you.
Oh, brilliant. I love hearing stuff like that, mate. And I love that t-shirt. When did you get that?
Me and my ex were going to a fancy dress party and I dressed up as Eddie Guerrero.
Tell you that. Is it a snidey one or is it an official one?
No, it's an official one for WWE.
Nice. Latino Heat is wearing up for the non-video thingies.
Well, what are you into the new wrestling-wise? What are you into?
Well, like Macy listeners, I'm not really keeping up with it. I don't watch the current product. I was quite interested with the ratings at the weekend, like everybody, between SmackDown and AEW.
Aye.
Did you see Eric Bischoff's tweet? I thought it was brilliant.
No, what did he say? What did he say?
John, please, Rab, you'll love this, right? We need to play this, right? Bobby, I'm fucking saying Bobby now all the time. Eric Bischoff, right?
Bobby Bischoff.
Yes, I've seen
this. Yeah, right, we need to play this because it was fucking cracking, man. Right, I'm going to copy and send it into the WhatsApp group, John. Is that all right?
Yep.
There you go.
Tell me where to call me and ask for any advice. Here's what it would be. Shut up and wrestle, dude. Just put out the best product you can, and you've proven you can. Focus on that. Now, this is weird coming from me, right? The guy who challenged Vince McMahon, the guy who did all the gave away their finishes, right? So people are listening to this and going, yeah, but that's
the young Tony.
What the hell?
Yeah.
But here's the difference. I was actually competing with him. I was going head-to-head, real head-to-head. Like, my show started the same time his show started each and every week. And another thing, Tony came out and says, oh, we're at the 1996 stage of WCW, and we're just going to not make their mistakes. Tony, you're inventing some mistakes, brother. by coming out there and constantly comparing yourself or deriding your competition, but not having the willingness, I almost said balls, not having the willingness to say, okay, let's go head to head. Let's really compete. Let's see who can get whose market share. That's real competition. So I'm a little disappointed in the rhetoric that I'm hearing out of Tony, as well as some of their talent, man. Shut the fuck up. Until you're actually competing and you're actually competing favorably. And by the way, Tony, in 1996, I was kicking WWE's ass every week in a real head-to-head competition, not a cosplay.
I just like the bit with it. And to all the wrestlers, shut the fuck up.
See, it's not really right what Eric Bischoff's saying there, though, because the difference is this. Here's the difference. What's happening the new, what is in people's heads, is that rivalry. Like, when Eric Bischoff was doing it and he was going head-to-head with Vince McMahon back then, there wasn't a time you could look back on where there was a Monday Night Wars and all of that. There wasn't all that history there. Tony Khan is playing into that fan excitement of having a rivalry. But Tony Khan, when he's hitting it with that patter, is actually working people. He's also working fucking Eric Bischoff. If Eric Bischoff is saying, you're making mistakes here and all that, Tony Khan knows what he's fucking doing. He's not genuinely going, we're competing with you. He's trying to gee fans that energy that people, because this is what we've been saying all along. Fans have always been going, I miss the Monday Night Wars. I miss the Monday Night Wars. Finally, Vince McMahon's never going to do it. Anybody at WWE is never going to do it. They're not ever going to come out and say we're in competition with them. They're never going to do it. So Tony Khan has to do it. It's what makes AEW exciting, particularly when it feels the new, like every other fucking indie company in the world is in bed with WWE. So it's like, it's what makes AEW cool is the fact that he can come out and go, we're no fucking in bed with you. We don't want to be on Peacock or on the fucking network or anything like that. That's what makes them different. So it's no fair Bischoff saying that. I don't think it's fair Bischoff saying that, because it's a completely different landscape. And, you know, Tony Khan is just using history to make this situation, this storyline, more interesting for the fans.
I agree with you.
Thing is, Bischoff's getting a bit nippy because he keeps getting comparisons to WCW to AEW. So I think he's just starting to take a nip.
That's always going to piss him off, isn't it?
And it's also always going to hit a sore point with Bischoff as well, because WCW fucked it. You know what I mean? And so that's the thing. The end of that story is that ultimately WCW fucked it. You know what I mean? So it's always going to be a sore point whenever anybody talks about that rivalry.
I know a lot of folk on the internet don't like Disco Inferno, but he tweeted last night, I thought it was quite funny. So embarrassing to be a wrestling fan today if you have to describe to people what you're a fan of. Ratings, demos, wrestling more, star ratings, stuff like this is for social misfits and nerds. He's got a bit of a point with that, man. When you go on Twitter, it is what that carry on, but isn't it?
All the demo chats, pish.
That annoys me.
We've got this.
Just shut the fuck up.
Well, here's the thing. The demo chat is, you can say that the demo chat is pish, right, when it's fans talking about it, right? But it's not actually, it definitely isn't pish, right? Seeing the eyes of broadcasters and in the eyes of people in advertising particularly, the demographic stuff isn't pish. It's like, right, seeing the world of advertising. The demographic stuff is they fucking slavishly follow that. That's like the fucking Bible to them.
Oh, God, you know what I mean? Aye, absolutely.
They slavishly follow it. So you kind of go, forget about all this demo stuff. No, it doesn't matter. It fucking matters.
It does.
It'll matter to Vince McMahon in that office when he sees, fuck's sake, in that demographic, they beat us over this period. Anybody saying that won't matter to Vince McMahon is fucking kidding
themselves. But I think what he's trying to say is, I agree with you, Rab, that is all important, but in what other fucking industry do fans of stuff talk about that? Like, John, I'm sure you know yourself, stuff will come up on the radio and they'll say, oh, that's good because that's going to hit, this demographic is going to hit like the over 35 female. But you don't, like, nae punters listening to the radio going like that. I like that, man, because it hit the demographic in a Facebook mall or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Come on, I don't think it's fair because, I mean, look at football, for example. Fans talk about fucking wages. They talk about the fucking money teams make. They talk about this team being this much in debt. They talk about this team having this many tickets sold. They talk about it happens in football. And all football fans do it. Constantly talking about business. You know what I mean? We look at fucking Celtic and Rangers. Half the talk about Celtic and Rangers is like fucking financial business shite that the fans are talking about all the time. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not something that's unique to wrestling. It's a thing.
I fucking hate how you're too brainy for me, man.
And it's the same way, like, I'm watching basketball, and now that's all, people are all fascinated in the workings and the indoors, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff. And we telly, it's kind of, you know, people don't talk about it as much because, I think, in telly stuff, because it's... because there's so many different organisations all making different things, different producers and all that kind of stuff. So it's no like the same thing. But I think recently people have started to get more interested in how many subscribers has Disney Plus got, how many subscribers has Netflix got, you know?
That's true. And then we actually think about it as well. Like, no, like there's a podcast, like you're bang on actually. Like when you think about like even just like the world of podcasting, you know, there'll be a full podcast about, I don't know, somebody that works at an IT company, and people that are listening want to know every single in and out about what this guy does as an IT person. Folk now want to know what happens, like how did it, what's behind the scenes with these day there. So everybody wants to know more. There's a niche for everything now, and everybody wants to know everything about everything now.
And we kind of sit here on a podcast and go, I mean, I heard like, I can't remember who it was saying, I don't know if it was a Cornette or fucking something, but it was in Wani, I remember it was like 6 months ago or something, but on Wani the Wrestling Podcast, somebody had said, like, forget about all this fucking demographics chat, just enjoy the wrestling, it doesn't forget about it. And I remember thinking to myself, your fucking podcast wouldn't have any sponsors and wouldn't be on air if people didn't care about demographics chat.
I've just pulled up the Wrestling Daft demographics. Would you like to know the Wrestling Daft demographics?
Bobby, you're in an amazing. This is one of the best ever segments of Wrestling Daft, and you're in it here, Bobby. You've created this.
The Wrestling Daft. Right, do you want to guess? We'll go with gender first. Do you want to guess what a percentage of male to female is?
I say it's about 98%.
Well, this is a problem. Is a problem. 90% male.
97% male. Well,
That's bad.
And what do you think, in the demographic, we give you three options. What demographic do you think would perform best? 18 to 24, 25 to 34, or 35 to 44?
Oh, I think it's a toss-up between the 18 to 25 and the 26.
35 to 44.
Do you?
35 to 44. Rab, no, we perform best with 42% of our audience in the 25 to 34 demographic.
Right. So
we are in the fucking AEW WWE demographic of choice.
Can I put myself over just for 10 seconds? I remember in 2016, the highest segment, the highest rated 15-minute segment of Impact for the first quarter, so what's the first quarter, January to April or something like that, was me versus Eli Drake in a ladder match.
That's cool.
And they took that, and what they done was, the next time I was there, they took that and wanted me to, like, they were like, well, we're going to kind of go somewhere with you, but I'm kind of exaggerating the last bit, just move on, but that's what happened.
Did you get some guilt there? You went like, I need to fucking stop this.
Aye.
This is Bobby. Yes. Bobby, who's your favourite wrestler of all time?
All time? It's got to be The Undertaker, isn't it?
Think so.
What was your favourite Undertaker match? Was it Shawn Michaels and Triple H versus Undertaker and Kane in Dubai? In Saudi Arabia or wherever it was?
Kane lost his mask.
Aye. Was Everybody was off on about, wasn't it?
Aye. I know. It wouldn't be that one. To be fair, I like a lot of the attitude here, stuff, to be honest with you. But I thought, talking about match, you've got to be the Shawn Michaels one, innit?
Aye.
What one's this one?
27,
26,
26. The rematch?
Aye. Did you like Ministry of Darkness Undertaker?
Aye, look, mate, for some reason I got a lot of shite, but see, growing up, when I was even about that age, I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
Here's that's my favourite version of Undertaker, is Ministry of Darkness Undertaker.
Aye.
Rab, Midian, naked Midian and
all that. Aye. What do you think you say to you? Rab, do you remember what you said your biggest pet peeve was in wrestling?
No, what did I say? Was it Grado?
No, it's when wrestlers are there and there's cameras there, and you'd say, why is that camera meant to be there?
Aye, if they're backstage or something.
Aye. But then, do you remember what you said your favourite Undertaker moment was?
Oh, you bastard. Oh, you bastard. Yeah, bastard, you.
What was that?
Where to, Stephanie?
Aye, right. Why was there a camera there? Because that was right fucking into the fucking eye. There you go.
See, just on that, not to talk about TNA again, right? But do you don't remember about, like, when Bischoff and Hogan came into TNA, they started doing the backstage promos and filming it, like,
as if the camera was peeking in, as if the cameraman was like, wasn't he in the room? Do you remember that?
Aye. That all like run the corner. Aye,
it
stuff.
Was moving about and shuggling about as if to say, right, they've caught on to like why is our camera, so we're going to make it look like the fucking cameraman's, you know, practically.
That was a
fucking
disaster, wasn't it? That idea.
It's a disaster.
WWE done that as well, didn't they, with the black and white? Was it the CCTV?
GTV, remember that? We never actually found
out. We never found out who it was. Was it going to be Gold Dust?
So no, something like that. Was it maybe Gold Dust?
Did it all come back for a bit as well? Did we ever find out who the fucking
GM was?
The GM
was Hornswoggle.
Vince's son?
No, but he was. Then they did the same gag with Hornswoggle for the GM as well. Because that was meant to be Mr. Kennedy was meant to be it, and then it turned out, because then he got, well, when we had Mr. Kennedy on the show, listened to it in the archives, he was talking about that, remember, because he got thrown out, but he was meant to be Vince's next son and all that sort of stuff, and then the drugs, he got thrown out because of the drugs, and they turned it to Hornswoggle.
He get thrown out because of the drugs, for fuck's sake, man, have a bit of respect for a guy's life.
Is this
Bobby,
a guy
by the way, I just want to say, Bobby, yes. By the way, that's not my favourite Undertaker moment anymore. I've got a more recent Undertaker.
I know what you're going to say.
That's my favourite moment.
Right, let's go.
Do you know what it might be?
Hello, Granny. There was a podcast just before we go. There was a podcast that put up something this week, like, tell me your favourite moments for the Undertaker, like, retiring, and it's fucking, some of the replies are brilliant, because the shit that he's been doing since he stopped wrestling, like, fucking steaming in pubs and all that, chopping folk.
I saw that!
You know what I mean? Like, he's just pure, when after, he's just,
what,
like,
what do you mean? Is there a video
maddie?
What?
You've never seen this video, Rab?
Is there a video where I'm chopping something in a
pub? A guy pissed.
Look at my boozer, kind of like, you would imagine, like, fucking, the boys you're here doing that in the boozer. And it's like, right, you're ending a Scottish share, kind of that, and then fucking
amazing. I would love, would you let him, Bobby, see if you were in a pub, right, an Undertaker was in there and he was steaming, would you let him chop you? Like, if he says to you, if he was saying he's going to be sore and all that, would you let him chop you?
With bare chest?
Aye.
Probably. If I was in a pub, I'd be pissed anyway, so.
Let's say you were sober, let's say you were working in the pub, right?
Right.
And he comes up and he goes, oh, there's Bobby Carmichael, I want to chop you right in the bare chest. Would you do it?
Probably, aye.
So would I, man. I love how, because you'd fucking regret it, wouldn't you? You'd walk away and go, it's two hangs, right? Because when I think about things like that, I go, well, when I say no, right, and I go away and I kind of regret it, I kind of go, what a shite bag, and what a story I would have been to tell if I'd have got it done and all that, right? And I would regret it. But if I said aye, and then I'd have to, like, come home to my wife and take my tap off. And I've got a big fucking red. And why is that there? Because I let the Undertaker chop me across my bare chest in a pub. Can you imagine explaining that to somebody? Fucking humiliating, wouldn't it? You did what?
It wasn't exactly a big chop off, to be fair.
Well, that's not what Michelle McCool said.
Hey!
Here we go. So, right, let's wrap it up there. Bobby, any questions or anything like that you want to hit as we are ending that before you go?
Well, so one question for both of you is, do you think there's too much nostalgia in wrestling within fans? Like, obviously, we were blessed to grow up with the Attitude Era, and that's always going to be the pull that we measure it to. So whenever the product's kind of shite, we'll always compare it back to that. Do you think the product missed out? Well, it's better now with AEW, but is the product today really that bad? Or is it just because we've got too much nostalgia towards the Attitude Era?
I don't know, but sometimes I don't think WWE did nostalgia right. It's the same shit on and off. Damn!
Yeah. They don't know how to do it.
Damn!
Because they're doing an old school Raw thing again in January, aren't they? They announced that the same kind of old school Raw is back. You know it's going to be, he'll be there saying damn, you know that fucking, you know, what else will it be like? Molly Holly will run out and fucking
Hurricane.
Hurricane.
A guy dressed up as a
horn. Boogeyman will eat worms.
Doink the clown.
Yeah. So they don't quite do it right, but I think that sometimes when they get it right, it was nice when Edge came out to the old brood music against Seth Rollins. That was a fucking genuine good moment, man.
Oh, I didn't know he'd done that, man.
And he had the look and all that.
That was SummerSlam, wasn't it?
Oh, fuck, I'm glad you didn't.
It was the Raw before Summer. It was the Raw before SummerSlam.
But he didn't do the whole entrance. It was a shame. It was like he just came up for the grun and all that. It would have been brilliant if he'd done the whole thing, like with and like we all said at the time. And this is the whole thing about them no doing it right. Fucking get Gangrel in.
Get Gangrel in for that moment.
You know what I mean?
He looks great.
Gangrel coming up with him and just waiting there with him and sending him off. It would have been what a pop that would have been. You know what I mean? But
is Gangrel not living in England now? Did I hear that? He lives
he's in Vegas, but he done the camps out here for Dixon for years.
He's coming into Emmerdale. He's got a part in Emmerdale. And it's weird because he's not playing a character. He just is Gangrel in it. So it's like a weird. How good would that be, by the way, if you turned on Emmerdale and fucking Gangrel was in? Aye, he just moved in. Aye. Hey, that Gangrel's just moved in, Dan.
Emmerdale Woolpack, that's a fucking amazing.
Woolpack.
Zach Dingle fucking owes him Monday. Oh, yeah, money. Gangrel turn up at the Woolpack.
Great, wasn't it? Fucking brilliant, man. Why does stuff like that not happen, man? It would be bloody brilliant, man, wouldn't it? Bobby, thanks so much for coming on. Or that demographic part.
Cheers, Bobby, mate. That was good. That was a good discussion, wasn't it?
Speak soon, mate. Right.
Bye-bye.
You just made the list!
Every week we take a wrestling-related subject, put it in an order, and that, ladies and gents, is what we call the List of Wrestling Daft. It's a thing we've been doing ever since the very first episode of Wrestling Daft, and you know, we're not going to break a habit of a lifetime here. Let's keep it going, even though we don't respect it as much now as we used to. We have a laugh with it. This week it was a three-time losers, best moments of NXT 1.0. I mean, who cares, right? Versus the best jobbers in the business. You can vote for what you want us to talk about by joining us at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. But the winner this week was 74% was the jobbers. So a jobber won for once. Hey, boys, you know what I mean? So top three jobbers of all time. Yeah, this is a tricky one because how do you define a jobber, boys?
Well, do you know what it was? I was not explained to me once that. So the telly guys back in the day apparently weren't getting paid. He explained it to me that they weren't getting, the guys that were on TV, it was an advertisement for themselves that they were getting on the telly. So it would advertise them when they go out on the road. Mm-hmm. And that's how they were paid. But when job guys, they got paid because they came in to do the job and they got money. So they were job guys, jobbers. They were the guys that were brought in and paid. Did you know that?
But what I'm meaning is, like, how do you define it now? Because obviously there's guys that I can remember, like Iron Mike Sharp, and then there's the fucking
Rocky King. And
aye, like all these
you
guys.
You already after all names.
And that's what I consider jobbers. Because you kind of go, you could almost argue nowadays Dolph Ziggler as a jobber, right? But he's a fucking champion and all that.
Mm. I mean, it's the same. So like, I'm just looking, somebody's wrote Zack Ryder and you think, well,
nah.
Aye, but when he won a thing with WrestleMania, that's not a jobber.
He's not a fucking jobber. There's no way Zack Ryder's a jobber. Now, obviously, you had during the Attitude Era, you had like Al Snow and all that with the job squad. Al Snow, wasn't he a fucking jobber?
No.
He wasn't he?
No.
Well, that was a gimmick.
Job guys were like guys in the early 90s and all that, you'd see, and they'd have like the worst fucking leotard, nae tan, like bushy moustache, pure, no shaved their oaksters. Do you know what I mean? That's, you know.
So I don't know how you even day. No, I'm not throwing a blame at you here, John, for like saying best jobbers, because it is an interesting thing, but it would have to be, number one would have to be... Number one's got to be the Brooklyn Brawler. He's probably, because he's the most. That's it, isn't it?
I'd say him, or, I mean, Barry Horowitz gets it an odd, doesn't he?
Aye.
Does he?
Aye. Well, aye.
But, sorry.
Aye, I would say so. But you would probably be in that area, Barry Horowitz, Iron Mike Sharp, Brooklyn Brawler.
Terry Gibbs.
Brawler number one. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Because he can't go, let's see what the punters are saying. I'm curious to see what they've said about jobbers. Stevie has said Barry Horowitz, not only the best, not only the best jobber ever, but one of the best in-ring talents ever. Daniel says, jobbers, majority of the Dynamite jobbers do a great job. Wheeler Yuta, Dante Martin, etc. get wins on Dark, come up to Dynamite to put on matches with the upper card. It's smart booking, makes the top talent feel like they're beating somebody. There's no way you could call Dante Martin a fucking jobber, I thought.
No, he's great. He wrestled Tommy. Wrestled Tommy last week and it was brilliant.
And you know, I had the nod of respect and all that. There's fucking a performer like Aleister Black is never gained a nod of respect to somebody that is you're arguing as a fucking jobber, no chance. Andy says the goon. Nah. Jamie says Coco Beware. Coco Beware was a jobber. Huh. Fucking not a chance, man. Not a chance. John says, always loved Sonny Blaze and WWE. Paul says, Zack Ryder, buried to fuck, then got himself over. Zack Ryder's no jobber. Ian says, the late 80s ham and eggers. They used to get their cunts kicked in.
Quality. That's the one you want.
Here we
are. That's it.
Ham and
he
eggers.
Knows what he's talking about.
Ham and eggers. Quality names such as Omar Atlas, Reno Riggins, Iron Mike Sharp, Barry Horowitz. There we go. There we go. MacDow says, I like the jobbers who blossomed like the 1-2-3 kid. Hardy Boys, Mr. Perfect's boy Curtis Axel should have blossomed, but ended up being the perfect jobber instead. And Giza Gobble the Gooker says, it has to be Steve Lombardi for the Brooklyn Brawler to Doink to Knuckleball Schwartz to playing Kim G. Steve is always there to lie down and take a beating to get the show started. You can't argue with that, can you? Special mention to jobber Mike Collins simply because it's clearly the footballer. Harry Kane.
That's a great picture. If you have not seen it, Google wrestling job of Harry Kane. It's funny as fuck.
But there you go. That was an interesting one, though. Because it's a kind of lost thing, the jobber, isn't it? It's like, I know, you know, somebody gets...
Who was the pair guy that actually died? He's probably done the steroids deal. What was his name? And Perry Saturn gave him an offer doing. And the footage, what was his name again? Mike Bell. He draps fucking Saturn on his head, which I don't think didn't look that bad, but then you just Saturn gets something, tries to fly kick him and he falls in his arse, and then he's like shooting off at the ropes going, duck my clothesline super kick. Just pure shouting like fuck, it's brilliant. You never seen that, John?
No, I've seen that.
Watch that tonight. Mike Bell versus Perry Saturn is a dart match, and Perry ends up losing the plot and he starts putting fuck at him for real.
Hey, it's John, and before we get into the Rhodes story, which is an absolute belter this week, I've got to tell you about ExpressVPN, because using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like checking your baggage into the airport without a lock. You never know who's going to go through your luggage. You know, if Grado's checking into the airport, looking at his case, I might find some hemorrhoid cream, which you don't want to see. And you know, it might be quite embarrassing for Rab if they look through his case and see the signed picture of Tony Khan with kiss marks all over it. It's not good. It's not good. So you want to protect yourself, and you want to protect yourself especially when you're online. So when you go online without a VPN, basically internet service providers, that's ISPs, can see every single website you visit, right? They can legally sell this information, right, without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. That's why you get all the pop-up stuff coming on Facebook and all these targeted ads. And you just get sick and fed up, and you end up getting steaming and buying something. And you don't want that in your life, right? So to browse without anyone knowing what you're up to, you want to use ExpressVPN, because ISPs cannot see your online activity. When you use ExpressVPN, it means your identity is completely anonymized by a secure VPN server. Your data is also encrypted for maximum protection, right? Dead easy to use as well. I've used it myself plenty of times. Just fire up the app, one click of the button, and boom, you're there. It works on all devices, phones, laptops, and it'll even work on routers as well. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected by ExpressVPN. And here at Wrestling Daft, of course, we've got a promotion. We've got a great offer for you guys to get involved with it. So if you want 3 months free with ExpressVPN, really easy to do it. ExpressVPN.com. ExpressVPN, all one word, .com/wrestling. Always a /wrestling, right? ExpressVPN.com/wrestling. You get 3 months free if you sign up for a year, and you want to do it now because you want to secure your online activity, and you want to do it right now with Wrestling Daft. ExpressVPN.com/wrestling.
Every week we jump into the virtual car and retell some of the funny and embarrassing moments for your lives, in the form of a road story. We take on the roles as wrestlers. I mean, Grado is a wrestler. And we recount your tale on the way back from a pretend show in an attempt to pop one another. So let's get the car started. Ah, oh, some match tonight, eh?
Ah, man, that bounce station was bouncing.
Let me tell you something. Bobby Carmichael's the best jobber I've ever worked, I have to say.
Bobby Carmichael.
Great. It takes a while getting into the ring, but once he's in there.
Yeah, his son looks good as well, Bobby Carmichael Jr.
Aye, and his cousin, Bobby Carmichael Barrymore. And his uncle that's in the jail, Bobby Carmichael Jackson. So,
It's funny just imagining, like, the folk in his street. Who stays in that house? That's the Carmichaels. Is that the Carmichaels? Is that where the Carmichaels stay? In the Carmichaels. Getting the boy Bobby Carmichael. It's like Pettigrew.
Kid.
It's like Pettigrew. I remember a guy called Willie Pettigrew.
The heartbreak kid, Bobby Carr, Shawn Michaels. Sorry. Anyway, he was the best jobber I've ever worked, I have to tell you that. I can't believe it turned out that Bobby Carmichael's son was the wee leprechaun guy. What's his name?
He was behind GTV and all, was he?
What was his fucking name? Is his name's out of my head.
Hornswoggle.
No, have you ever listened to that podcast, Wrestling Daft?
Oh, what's it twice?
Well, one of the producers on it, right? One week, because he'd fucked up the story that the punters had sent, and he had to tell his own story about Dana People's elbow when he was in a pub, right? And it reminded me, when I heard that story, it reminded me of a time many moons ago, mate. Right? Mm-hmm. So this one time, right, when I was in primary four. No, after a night in the tiles.
Oh, fuck.
After a night in the tiles, I got diarrhea, and my granddad had to clean my diarrhea out of the carpet. No, sorry, after a night in the tiles, here's a real one. After a night in the tiles, me and my mate were walking two ladies at home, like the gentleman we were, right?
Just folks still.
Suddenly, like an RKO out of nowhere, here was a problem for these scallywags, right? I'm 6'4". And I'm about 20 stone. But unfortunately, I've always been known for my inability to chuck a punch off fight. Right? So one of the boys ran at me, and my mate's missus, and I've just thrown a big haymaker, which connected with him perfectly. Right? His legs went up into the air a lot, and he was lying spark out cold in the road. So being a wrestling fan, I decided, fuck off, I decided I had to do what was necessary. I dragged him to the middle of the road, and I did the whole people's elbow routine. Chucking the armband, the whole shebang, put it on him. I then gave him the old DDP WWE line. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If only camera phones were about, it was the best night ever in Lark Hall. And witnesses to boot. I'm laughing at this next fucking sentence. Unfortunately, it didn't work out quite as well for my mate, as he got chucked over the church wall. And was lying half-pitched and winded. I'd fucked the other boy over the same wall, and the two of them were lying winded, fucked and steaming, made a list. Nose to nose. And to quote my mate, he said... all I could hear was you spouting some wrestling pish. And that story was from who, John?
Sorry, I ended up in the name on that one.
That's fucking brilliant.
The story was from... That was from Willie, that story.
Cheers, Willie. That popped the boys. That made us laugh a lot.
Nah,
that was good
nose
stuff.
Nose to nose.
Nose to nose. That's a Oh man, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's the kind of part I like. Right, so it's great to be back. It's great to be back with these boys. That's it for Wrestling Daft, though. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us in wherever you get your podcasts. Mind for more content, there's loads this week. Loads. Get on the Patreon. Get on the Patreon. Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Give us your support. Keep the show going. Keep the lads ticking over. Check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/WrestlingDaft. It's time to refresh this merch. Let's get some new merch up there. Thank you so much for listening. And I think that even though it's posthumous, it's going to be a posthumous award. I think maybe Listener of the Week should go to the very man, Drew, who we dedicated the episode to. So I think that would be, let's give him a posthumous Listener of the Week for him.
Well done,
thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Great to be back, boys. I'm already looking forward to next week. Try and watch fucking AEW at least. Try and watch a Dynamite or a Rampage. Rampage is an hour, boys. An hour.
I'm just struggling because obviously there's hundreds of shit getting done this house for this Wayne coming, so I'm not really getting the time. I put on AEW last night, was watching Dante Martin and Tommy End, which was good. Stephanie was going, no, they're good moves.
They're
quite good moves. She went, how's Triple H getting on? It was a bit of a heart attack. Like, how's Triple H?
Tommy's really? Entrance is cracking, isn't it?
Ah, he's good.
That entrance is cracking.
It's fucking some pop he gets, man.
Aye. But just I just love when the lights go out and then he's like back on, he's in a different place. You know what I mean? I love shit like that. You know what I mean?
You love that guy, man.
I'm a big fan. Big fan. Love him and Adam Cole. Thanks everybody for listening. Guys, up a road. You shall sell. Up a road. Audio Frontier.